Continental Soccer Association is coming to Springfield. It's all here. Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties. You bet. You'll see all your favorite soccer stars, like Arriaga, Arriaga 2, Barriaga, Aruglia, and Pizzozza.
Oh, I never heard it out, people.
And they'll all be signing autographs.
Woohoo!
This match will determine once and for all which nation is the greatest on Earth, Mexico or Portugal.
One hooligan and a dummy walk into a sports cubicle. It must be soccer time. Ladies and gentlemen, here on the sports cubicle, it's not very often that we get to talk about players the like of Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, when they get to go into a different part of their career. But that is what we get to do on this edition of the Sports Cubicle with the marvelous one, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado. And if you were under a rock, you missed the huge news. Not only are the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Finals, not only are the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals, not only do the Miami Marlins have an okay, pretty fun, interesting team, they now are the proud home of Inter Miami's biggest acquisition, arguably the biggest acquisition in American soccer history. El GOAT, Lionel Messi, is heading to Inter Miami. Paulie, this is something that I think a lot of fans have always talked about. What was going to be that huge star that was going to come here to the United States since Beckham? And we saw how that was in LA. And LA has had Zoltan. Like, there's been big players, but not El GOAT.
No, not the Messi guy. This is completely different. I mean, I think the only comparison would be like Cristiano Ronaldo if he came to the United States. But
which we'll get to that in a second, because I really want to hear how the Saudis have been playing into all these big numbers, including Benzema from my Real Madrid making that big move. But I wanted to also talk a little bit about what this deal actually looks like, because it's fascinating how valuable
he is. Yeah, they have to work out some really, you know, there's a salary cap in soccer.
So there's the MLS.
Kind of an MLS. Whereas world soccer, there's no salary cap.
I think I was reading
he was making approximately $45 million a year with PSG.
And they were talking about the Saudis offering almost $1.3 billion in his contract. Here's something interesting. Terms include a cut of revenue from new subscribers to Apple TV's MLS Season Pass streaming service. It also includes an option for part ownership of Inter Miami. And I think what's fascinating about this is the way athletes are trying to conquer different sports in different ways. Now, it's obviously the same sport, but it's a different market for Messi. And on top of it, ownership. It's the idea of owning land for us normal people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't get to own sports teams, but if you own property, if you own land, that's how you build your equity. The more you own, the better you are.
Yeah.
If you're an athlete, you can make all these big deals. Talk about Tom Brady's and any of these other quarterbacks in NFL, LeBron James, but they're investing their money right back into printing money. And that's what I think Messi did. Messi is still going to be one of the better players in this league.
You mean he didn't put it all into crypto
like Brady did? Dogecoin didn't happen for him. Sorry, Ether. But I think there is something really cool about watching Messi become one of those transcendent athletes. So somebody like you who, you know, Barca and how amazing they were in La Liga, all the great matchups between him and his club versus Real Madrid and Atletico and all these other great squads.
Yeah.
And then you look at what he did in PSG, obviously the amazing run and arguably one of the greatest soccer games in the World Cup that we just saw.
Mm-hmm.
What were your vibes? What were you feeling? What our insider, our soccer football guy, when you saw Messi and this deal go through?
I thought this is a big win for MLS because I think they needed a start. You know, we talked about Beckham, and even then that was a short run. And I remember I didn't quite understand the World Soccer versus MLS, how, you know, you could transfer and how loans work out. And it seemed like Beckham didn't play much with LA anyway, but he was at the tail end of his career. This is the same with Messi, where he's at the tail end of his career. But I would imagine there's going to be a little bit more playing time in this regard. And this is probably how he's going to finish off his playing careers with Miami. The nice thing is, I think he's only like 35, 36 years old, maybe like late 30s, mid to late 30s. not a lot of left playing time left, but at the same time, I think the downgrade of MLS versus where he's coming from, like Liga Un in France or La Liga, where he played in Spain, you know, this is like probably the sixth or seventh best league in the world. So I think it can extend his career a little bit. You got the age in front of you?
Yeah, he's 35 as of this recording. He will turn 36 on June 24th.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, you know, there's guys that have played a little bit later, and for kind of what his role is anyway, he's in really good shape. He doesn't need to be the fastest guy on the pitch. He's just a great facilitator. I think, you know, great court vision, I think is what they call it in basketball.
Yeah.
You know, kind of that was the impressive thing watching him in the World Cup. Wasn't so much that, you know, the team lived and died by what he was doing on the field. It was just he could create things and find things and work with certain guys and make the whole team better just by being able to find the right guys. So I don't know what this is going to do for Miami, if it's going to be, you know, soccer is still 11 on 11, so I don't think one guy is going to change the whole landscape. And from my understanding, Inter Miami is not having a great season this year. I would imagine if they can put a team around him, though. But regardless, it's going to be the draw. This is great for the MLS.
Yes.
This is great for Apple TV. This is great for growing the United States' interest in soccer leading up to the World Cup in 2026. And this is like a chance for people all around the United States to see a legend play, you know, it all over, you know, in any soccer city, which is pretty much all the major metropolitan areas in the United States, versus like a summer tour where, you know, my team, Liverpool, is only going to Singapore this summer, which is where they were last year.
Right.
So I won't get to go see them. But they toured in like 2018, 2019. I think it was like Wrexham, the Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds club is playing in, you know, certain parts across the U.S. this summer. With this, though, you have from like February to November, Lionel Messi is going to be around the United States.
October 2023, the Inter Miami Football Club will be at Soldier Field to take on the Chicago Fire. So what was a very cheap ticket, it's now the hottest ticket in October, not named the Chicago Bears in that stadium.
I was going to say the hottest ticket in October is when the Las Vegas Raiders come to town to play
that
the Bears.
That stadium is going to be a bumpin'. It's really fun. I think what's awesome about this is what you just said. It's the touring. It's the favorite band coming into your town and being able to see him. We also don't know what kind of friends he's going to bring along onto the Inter Miami club.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
He's
cool
never really
players going to be there.
Struck me as the type of guy that comes like with players. You know, I don't think there's guys from like Barca that are coming over to you know, join him. But I mean, it's interesting because maybe this will influence more players to come over to the MLS or not feel as embarrassed to come over to the MLS or, you know, fade into obscurity. You brought up Zlatan, and like he was great the one or two seasons he played out in LA, but then he went back over. I think he just retired this week too.
That's crazy.
You know, but I mean, you know, it's that sort of thing, because it's always been kind of the joke that, you know, players go to the MLS because their careers are over in Europe. And now it's maybe going to be one of those things where I think the MLS could grow into a more legitimate league and maybe get more of a home base and more international players wanting to come play here.
I think the big thing is when you're dealing with international players from this type of sport, and we've seen the example of what golf was with these with LIV Golf, PGA with independent contractors, I think the key to this is what NBA is doing and how much the NBA has been copying international soccer, especially with the in-season tournament being so worldwide and all these different prospects. I think the big thing for MLS is to make sure they're in lockstep with the big time players. So let's say Ronaldo, who's a little bit older than Messi, wants to go to New York. I think it's important to, while he's not going to give you, let's say, Ronaldo from 10 years ago, what is important is every single time you establish, we brought in this name star. And the difference, I think, a Ronaldo in 2023 at 38 is different than most athletes 20 years ago when they were past their prime going into a lower league. He is still at 38, prime time. But he's not Mbappe.
It's the money thing that worries me, though, and that's why I'm waiting to see what happens with the Messi contract, because, you know, obviously they have to, like, get creative with how they're going to pay this guy. And I think, you know, you look at Ronaldo chased money in Saudi Arabia, and that's going to be always sitting there. You know, I think, if anything, Saudi Arabia is only going to get more bigger and bigger in the entire sports world. You know, you're bringing up LIV Golf, bringing up Ronaldo going to Saudi Arabia, bringing up that Messi was offered $1 billion. I think there's even more to, you know, LIV going to the PGA. So Saudi, and of course, who can forget Manchester City playing for the European Cup this weekend, and then Newcastle as well. You know, so it's
what happens when an NBA team goes for sale.
Exactly. Saudi money is becoming more and more part of worldwide sports. MLS, I think, is going to have to lift their salary cap if they legitimately want to be a major player vying for some of these guys. But I think at the same time, too, it's an opposite schedule from all of the ones that they've been doing and from what the basically the FIFA schedule is. I don't know if that's going to be a hindrance to attracting talent over to the United States.
I think it's all optics at this point, right? Like, I don't think Americans or international soccer lovers are going to strictly watch MLS games for the product. And I think there is something to the novelty of it. That's where we're at right now, opposed to the Beckham thing. This is, I think, where I was really trying to hone in on is when Beckett came in to LA, diminished returns was a real thing because he was so far from the Beckham we knew, you know? At this point, while I think Messi has obviously lost a step, for whatever Messi's lost step is, it's still world class, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's the return of it is, every single time you do this, it gets a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And eventually, maybe it's 20 years from now, maybe it's 30 years from now, you will get that 27-year-old superstar finally able to do it. And I think that has to come from, because you're a small sport, you have to offer things other sports can't. What Saudi Arabia won't offer you, besides $1 billion, the potential of $2 billion by owning a team.
Yeah.
I think that, and that's a dangerous game to play. But I think that's where they can find their lane is trying to, hey, here's 25% of this team. Here's 10% of this team. Come play over here. Do it for 10 years. You'll still get to play in the World Cup. You're still going to make all this money. We'll have friendlies, whatever. I think that is the optimistic, if I'm trying to play big picture, my best hopes if I'm the Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is legitimized Major League Soccer. You know, it's, I don't think it's, not that it was a joke beforehand, but I don't think it's, you know, it's as much of a joke, or at least I think it only makes it able to be more of a world player now by landing someone like that. But we'll see. I mean, that's the thing is, there's no guarantee that he's going to play all the games there, you know, and then what happens if he's injured, you know, in soccer, injuries are big. And from what most teams that are competitive, what they do, they don't play their guys if they're remotely hurt, you know, if like a nagging knee injury, he sits out the game, he doesn't dress, you know, whereas other sports, you see this guy's playing hurt all the time. So you have that worry of like, if a knock happens to Lionel Messi, well, then you've lost your attraction. There's no one else on Inter Miami that's worth coming out to see. So, I mean, that's been a concern of mine right here in Chicago. I've always wanted to see Shaqiri play.
Yeah.
I've seen him play before with Liverpool in a summer friendly. You know, so that's why I don't think I'm like, you know, chomping at the bit to go see him. But at the same time, my worry is that I'm going to get tickets, go all the way down there and find out he's not playing that day because he's injured or because they decided to rotate him out or whatever it is. So that's the trouble you run into when one player is the attraction. Shohei Ohtani in baseball is another example, you know, because he might have pitched the day before he came to town and then sits out the day that you go to see him. So you don't get to see him pitch or hit that day. I mean, you still get Mike Trout as a backup plan. Yeah, and that's right. Nice, you know,
but you're using it specifically Ohtani.
But for the novelty of seeing Shohei Ohtani, you miss out on that.
I think what the one thing you might be able to put your hat on if with that thought to play the devil's advocate is if he has ownership and subscription rights, he's going to want to make sure that he's available for Showtime, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the only silver lining. It's like, okay, injuries, especially hamstrings and feet and things like that, like for sure. Hopefully the incentive of pay by watch and pay by subscription makes it like, all right, I have to at least be on the field. I don't care if I'm Roy Kent and my knee keeps popping out. I got to be out there and play for my subscription.
Soccer's a little different, though, because I mean, it's noticeable. If one of your 11 guys isn't up to snuff, you know, like that's an advantage that can be taken. And you see, like a lot of guys usually do not play hurt in soccer.
Yeah.
You know, like they're close to 100% as possible if they're on the field.
I want to see the talent discrepancy, and I want to see how hard some of these teams play Inter Miami when he's on the lineup. When the GOAT is out there, how hard do Columbus or Seattle or Chicago or LA or the two New Yorks or Dallas, how hard are they going to play Inter Miami?
Yeah.
How hard are they going to go at Lionel Messi? Like, that's what I, as a meatball fan, want to watch. Paula, we have about 20 seconds. Your final thoughts. Like, this is a great day. This is something that, you know, as a new soccer fan, somebody like you who's been a diehard for your whole life, like, to see a cool story, wherever it ends up. It's a cool story, monumental story, and he didn't end up in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I think it's great. Honestly, I think it's a great win for American soccer, and I hope that American soccer gets bigger and better, you know, leading up to the World Cup.
Do you want to feel like you just got paid like Lionel Messi? You want to feel like Ronaldo after Saudi Arabia backed up the truck? Go to Sheets and Giggles and live like a king and queen by looking at their eucalyptus mattress and sheeting and feeling it all over that silky smooth body of yours. It got some Mia choked up. Sheets and Giggles, the sports cubicle, sports from the couch, for 15% off. Shout out to each and every one of you who supported us over at Kickstarter for Lucha Dog. It's Manilon. Shout out to Devin and Paul Marver for being an awesome backbone along with everybody else. We're a few days away from the Kickstarter ending, so check us out there and all over the socials. We're on YouTube at the Sports Cubicle. We're on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV and everywhere else in the universe at Sports From The Couch. And you can check me out on Twitter at Lucha Dog Book, Facebook, Lucha Dog, and on Instagram, Lucha Dog Book. For the dangerous one, Paulie Dangerous Paul Shibari. For the marvelous one, Dan Marver. For the sexy man in Chicago, Devin Tingo. I'm Mike Mercado.